open the service with hymn 331. With me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, dear Lord, we come with thankful hearts, and that we joy in the fellowship that we've had here. And as we go into this service this evening, Lord, we pray that you continue to be with us, be with the speaker of this hour, that he can surely give the words that you want everybody to hear and be with the congregation, that they will understand and know it's truth for whatever he says. And again, I give thanks for being able to be here. In Jesus' holy name, I pray this. Amen. Another second song. Is there any hymnals to 118? 118. Mr. Wayne Ely, you have the stage. Thank you, Stan. It is good to be with you here tonight. It's always a privilege for me to come to the Idaho Reunion because I know that my brothers and sisters are going to be here, and I know that the Spirit of the Lord is going to be here also. You know, before supper, I was talking with Debbie and Mary, and Debbie said that they had a big meal planned, you know, lots of food. And I said, you know, if I eat too much, I might fall asleep while I'm preaching. And we all decided that would probably not be a good thing. So our sister Mary, always willing to serve the Lord, has promised that if she notices me starting to doze off, she's going to come up here and whack me one.
Mary, will you do that for me too?
So keep an eye on Stan too. I want to talk a little bit about our 10th anniversary in Kenya. It was a wonderful experience, those of us that were there. But it's, to me, it's kind of a testimony of where we are at in history, that we are getting towards the last days, that we are in the last days, but we are getting near to the end, because we are seeing this gospel being spread to the world. And here in Kenya, that it's been 10 years since Brian and Smith first went there to Kenya. And we've seen the work grow there, and the numbers increase. And we have 30 congregations there in Kenya now. And at this celebration, which we brought some of all of the different congregations together there, and we had 1,200 people there. Can you imagine 1,200 members of the Church of Christ all together in one place? And when was the last time the Church of Christ had 1,200 members together? Who knows? Many years. But it was a wonderful experience. And I know the people that were there, they grew closer together. There was a bond there with the different tribes. And it was a wonderful experience for each one of us that were there. But I know that we are living in these last days, and we are seeing this gospel being spread to all the world. You know, though, in our life, sometimes, things are not always as they seem. We have our ideas about how things should be, and they're not always that way. When I was up here in March, and when I returned home from Idaho, I decided to go through Nevada because it looked like it would be a quicker trip. And I'd never been through that part of Nevada before, and so I didn't really, for sure know which road was the best one to take. But when we got to Ely, Nevada, we really wanted to go farther. We wanted to get closer to home, so the next day would be shorter. So we wanted to drive on a little bit farther, and we figured that surely that since the town was named after me, that we'd be able to find a hotel there, and they'd probably give me a free room. But we really wanted to go on a little bit farther, so we looked at the map. And there was a road that went, it was out of the way a little bit, but there was a couple of what looked to be like larger towns. You can see the little, like the double circles on it. And this other route that looked like it was shorter, there was no towns like that. And way down there, there was a little dinky, just a single little dot there, a town called Alamo. So we took the long route. Seemed like the best way to go. To find a place, one of those towns, to find a hotel. So we stopped at the first little town, and we got there at 7 o'clock in the evening. And, we drove through town, and we didn't see anything. We thought, we drove back in, and we stopped at a little gas station, convenience store, and asked if they had a hotel in town. She said, yeah, that they had two rooms. I'm not sure where those two rooms were, but, and I said, well, is there a place to eat? And we looked across the street, and just at that time, the lights went out. And she said, yeah, there's the only restaurant, and they just closed. So we decided to head to the next town. And we got to the next town at 8 o'clock, and there was a couple of hotels there. So all we need to do is find a place to eat. So we stopped at a restaurant that looked like it'd be a pretty nice restaurant. It was a few minutes after 8. And we walked in there. And you know, there's a waitress clear in the back of the restaurant there. And as soon as we walk in the door, I mean, she bellers out, "We're closed." And that was it for that. And we stopped at a convenience store and asked if there was any other restaurants in town. She said, "No, you know, it's 8 o'clock after all. And there's no place open." So we headed on. And that was our two towns that had the big circles. And all that was left was a little tiny Alamo down here. And we were pretty much convinced we were going to have to drive all the way to Las Vegas. And as we're driving into Alamo, we see a light off to the right. And there's a restaurant and a hotel there. And in this little Alamo. So we pull in there, and it's 9:05. So I walk in there, and it's kind of a restaurant-hotel combination, the same person running both. And I asked if the restaurant's open. And she said, "No, I'll close at 9. 9:05. So, but she said, "I think the grill's still on. The cook's still in there." And she went back to check and see if the grill was still on. And as she left, you know, I'm talking to my wife, and we think, you know, we don't want to do this. You know, the place is closed. You know, they don't want to. People coming in, right? I mean, we've been there before to places like this. They don't want people coming in. So when she came back, she said, "Well, yeah, the grill's open. It won't be a problem." I said, you know, we don't want to do this. We don't want to put anybody out. And she said, "It's no problem. It's no problem at all. We'll be glad to fix you some food." And she took us over in the restaurant and set us down, and we still had the waitress. You know, she had to take care of us. I said, "Well, you know, this may not be good." But she came over, and she was friendly and got us our drinks, and they took our order for our food, and the lady came to our table and checked us in the motel. And that wasn't what we expected either. You know, that whole trip, that whole few hours there, nothing was what we expected. We expected to find someplace along the way and didn't find it. And as we were driving through there, you know, it was kind of like driving on the moon. There was nobody else there. Nobody else there. We were the only people out there. But here we were. And, you know, it was kind of like coming home to Grandma's house at this restaurant, but it was not what we were expecting. And life is like that a lot. You know, things are not always as we expect. And you know, sometimes in life, we think we know how things are going to be, or you know, we kind of predict how things are going to be, and or maybe how they should be in our mind. And we had a good lesson of that when we were in Tanzania this year. When we were crossing the border into Tanzania, Moses got a call on his cell phone that said that Tobias had died. And Tobias was one of the leaders there that we really had the most hope for. We had the most hope for as being called into the ministry, to being that first minister in Tanzania. That was what our minds were saying. That's what we could see from looking at this man. And we had been there in November of last year, and he was very sick at that time. Had some disease in the bone. And we were able to go to him and administer to him and talk to him. And on his table there, he had stacks of reference books, probably 40 reference books, religious reference books. I don't know where he even got them all. But he'd been studying. He'd been studying the Word. And I know he was a good influence there and a leader
a strong leader for those people. But in that time, after we were finished and as everybody else had left, I was there left with just him and his family because I wanted to take a couple of pictures. And I was able to talk to him for just a couple minutes. And, you know, he speaks Swahili and I speak English. And, you know, we didn't have the best conversation, but we were able to communicate some. And, you know, in that couple of minutes, I felt like I could see into the heart of Tobias. And I knew that he was a righteous man. I knew that he was a man of God. So I had no doubt about that he was a man of God. And I was looking forward to seeing him on this next trip. I was looking forward to seeing him more than anybody else there in Tanzania. Because I knew he was a man of God. And I felt like someday the Lord would call him into the ministry in my own mind. To get that call at the border was hard. To hear that Tobias had died, it was hard. How could it be? How could it be? Because we had already figured that he would be the one. And I know that he was a righteous man. And I know he could have served well as a minister. But that was not part of God's plan. That was not part of his plan. A lesson to me, that we don't know. We don't always understand. You know, God has a plan. He's got this master plan. He knows how all the pieces fit together. We don't know that whole plan. We don't understand that whole plan. And in this life, we never will. We're not going to understand all of God's plan. But he has a plan. He has a plan for each one of us. Each one of us in this room, he has a plan for. If we are willing to follow him. And to serve him. I know that this is our time. Our time to prepare to meet God. But we must be willing. We must be willing servants. We must be ready to serve. Whatever it takes. It'll be a little different for each one of us. I want to turn over to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verses 31 through 33. For some reason, this scripture has been on my mind for quite a few months. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. There's the key to the scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We know the scriptures tell us to put the Lord first. Put him first above all other things. It's key for us to first seek the Lord, and all these things will be provided. He will be there with us in our lives to provide the things. And he knows what we stand in need of. He knows what we stand in need of temporally. He knows what we stand in need of spiritually. I want to turn back a few verses. Let's go to verse We'll read verses 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Very plain, isn't it? Very plain. The words of Christ, that we cannot serve God and mammon. We have to choose. Each one of us has to choose. The world has to choose to serve God or to serve the things of this world. And it tells us to lay up our treasures in heaven because the treasures of earth will someday all pass away and be of no worth to anyone. No worth to anyone. But these treasures in heaven, our service, our righteousness, they will endure forever. They will determine where we spend eternity. So it is important that we diligently seek the Lord. Seek His righteousness. Look for ways that we can serve Him. Grow stronger spiritually every day. Pray against the power of Satan. Brian talked about that this morning. Satan is out there trying to devour us, trying to devour each one of us. So we must be diligent. We must be diligent. And seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's important. And you know, if we are serving God, if we are seeking that kingdom of God, the Lord has promised that He will be there with us to uplift us, strengthen us, to bless us, to protect us, to prosper us. The scriptures are plain. Of what the Lord will do for us if we are serving Him. But you know, it doesn't mean we're not going to have problems. We're still going to have trials and tribulations. We're going to have things that break down and quit working. We're going to get sick. Eventually, we're going to die. But the Lord will be there with us to help us through these things of life, to bless us. You know, we know that the scriptures tell us that we can have joy. We can have joy even in these great trials and temptations only through Jesus Christ, only through serving Him. But the Lord will be there to protect us, to strengthen us, to guide us, as long as we're willing to serve Him. Let's look at Alma chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. This is on page 331. Do you not remember that our father Lehi was brought out of Jerusalem by the hand of God? We know the story of how Lehi was guided out of Jerusalem, brought across the waters to the Americas by the hand of God. He was blessed. He was protected because they were going to kill him there. Do you not remember that they were all led by him through the wilderness? And have you forgotten so soon how many times he delivered our fathers out of the hands of their enemies and preserve them from being destroyed, even by the hands of their own brethren. Yea, and if it had not been for his matchless power and his mercy and his long-suffering toward us, we should unavoidably have been cut off from the face of the earth long before this period of time, and perhaps been consigned to a state of endless misery and woe. The scriptures are full of examples of how the Lord has blessed and protected his people. And I know that each one of us has testimonies of how God has blessed and protected us in our life. And he has promised to do that. He has promised to do that for those that are willing to follow after him. To follow after the things that he has taught us. But you know, for us to have God's blessings and protection, there are things that we must do. Things that we must do in this life. Things that are required of us. I want to read a couple of scriptures that talk about this. Let's first turn to Mosiah chapter 9, verses 39 through 41. This is on page 259. This is a scripture we often read at a baptism service. And now, as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and be called his people and are willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses of God at all times, and in all things, and in all places that ye may be in, even until death, that ye may be redeemed of God, and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. Now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your hearts, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord, as a witness before him, that ye have entered into a covenant with him, that ye will serve him and keep his commandments, that he may pour out his Spirit more abundantly upon you? Those of us that have been baptized, we made a covenant with Jesus Christ. We made a covenant with him. And it talks about some of these things that we are willing to do as members of the Church of Christ. To bear one another's burdens. To follow the commandments. To follow all of his commandments that he has given unto us. These are things that are required of us. Things that the Lord has required of us. Verse 44. And when he had said these words, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And he said, Elam, I baptize thee, having authority from the Almighty God, as a testimony that ye have entered into a covenant to serve him until you are dead. That's what we promised to do. We promise to serve him all the days of our life. As to the mortal body, and may the Spirit of the Lord be poured out upon you, and may he grant unto you eternal life through the redemption of Christ, which he hath prepared from the foundation of the world. We see here this covenant that we have made to serve the Lord all of our days. And if we do that, he will bless us. He will protect us. And someday he will give us that eternal life. We can have that hope for this eternal life. Because he promised that to us. If we are willing to follow him and to serve him. Let's turn over to 2 Nephi chapter 12. Verses 74 through 78. And this is on page 158. And I will shew unto them that fight against my word and against my people, which are of the house of Israel, that I am God. And I have covenanted with Abraham that I would remember his seed forever. We see here that when God makes a covenant, it's forever, isn't it? He doesn't break that covenant. He never breaks that covenant. So we see here that he has a covenant with the seed of Abraham. But let's read on here and see what is required. What is required? And now, behold, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you, for I, Nephi, would not suffer that ye should suppose that ye are more righteous than the Gentiles shall be. For behold, except ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall all likewise perish. And because of the words which have been spoken, ye need not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed. We see that the Lord has this covenant with the house of Israel, his covenant people. But we see that there is something required of them, isn't there? He is keeping his end of the covenant, but they must keep their end of the covenant. For behold, I say unto you, as many of the Gentiles as will repent are the covenant people of the Lord, and as many of the Jews as will not repent shall be cast off. For the Lord covenanteth with none, save it be with them that repent and believe in his Son, which is the Holy One of Israel. We see what is required, that we repent of our sins and that we follow after the commandments. We see that we are the covenant people, those that have been baptized, and those that are serving the Lord. They are part of this covenant with the Lord. But we see that he also talks here that there's many of the Jews that will not repent and not follow the commandments, that they will be cast off. So we see what is required for us to receive these blessings and this watch, care, and protection of the Lord. And we've seen generations of examples of the house of Israel that have not kept that covenant, have not followed after the Lord, and what has happened to them? They have been persecuted. They have been killed. Terrible things have happened to them. But it is because they did not keep that their end of the covenant. They were the Lord's covenant people. But they turned their back on the Lord. So we see what is required of us as we go forward, that we continue to serve the Lord and to follow him. And if we are willing to do that, he will be there with us. He will be there to pour out his blessings upon us. We know what we must do. The scriptures are before us. We've read the scriptures. We know that what is required of us. And, you know, we have an example, a very good example in the Book of Mormon of a people that they knew what was required of them. And for many years, they did that. They followed after what was required of them. I want to look at read a few scriptures about the history of the Nephite people. And see where they started out and where they ended up. And as we go from point A to point B, I want you to think of what happened. What happened in this time span? Because as we start at point A here, we're talking about something very similar to us, to us, the Church of Christ. And as we think about this, we see, well, how did they end up over here? But it's a warning to us. It's a warning to us to beware, to be on guard, because somewhere in this journey, the Nephites were not diligent. They were not diligent, and they fell away. So think about that as we're reading this, as we read these few scriptures, and see what happened to this people. Let's start in 4 Nephi chapter 1. Verses 17 through 21. And this is on page 683. And as we read this scripture, I mean, this sounds, let me read the scripture first. And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God that did dwell in the hearts of the people. And there were no envyings, nor strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people which had been created by the hand of God. There were no robbers, no murderers, neither were there Lamanites, nor any manner of ites. But they were in one, the children of Christ, and heirs to the kingdom of God. And how blessed were they, for the Lord did bless them in all their things and all their doings. Yea, even they were blessed and prospered until 110 years had passed away. And the first generation from Christ had passed away, and there was no contention in all the land. What a wonderful thing that must have been. It almost sounds like a paradise here on earth, but not quite. I know they still had their trials and tribulations, but they were able to overcome those things, and they were serving the Lord. They had a desire to serve the Lord. They didn't have a desire for the things of this world. They were laying up their treasures in heaven. They were seeking first the kingdom of God. And the Lord was blessing them and prospering them. But let's see what happens. In a few years, what happened to these people? Let's read verses 27 through 29. And now, in this 201st year, there began to be among them those which were lifted up in pride, such as the wearing of costly apparel, and all manner of fine pearls, and of the fine things of the world. And from that time forth, they did have their goods and their substance no more common among them. And they began to be divided into classes, and they began to build up churches unto themselves, to get gain, and began to deny the true church of Christ. And it came to pass that when 210 years had passed away, there were many churches in the land. Yea, there were churches which professed to know the Christ, and yet they did deny the more part of his gospel, insomuch that they did receive all manner of wickedness, and did administer that which was sacred unto him to whom it had been forbidden, because of unworthiness. So we see a people that had been humble, righteous, serving the Lord, And we see over a space of time that these things disappeared, that their righteousness disappeared. And it really tells us here what happened. I mean, there's a key word in here that explains what happened, and that word is pride. They became proud. They no more put their brothers and sisters first. That's what a humble people does. They put others first. But now, these people, after this space of time, this Nephite people, they had put themselves first. They were lifted up in pride. They were falling away from the gospel. No longer hungering and thirsting after righteousness, but hungering and thirsting after the things of the world, the pride of the world. We can see this happening today, can't we, in the world? Very plainly happening today as we speak. Couple hundred. Yep. They started out a God-fearing nation. But it's rapidly going the wrong direction. Following after the path here of the Nephite people. They're kind of a model of the way this nation is going. Lifted up in wickedness. Well, let's read the conclusion of this. Let's turn over to Mormon chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, on page 704. Behold, I, Moroni, do finish the record of my father Mormon. Behold, I have but few things to write, which things I have been commanded of my father. And now it came to pass that after the great and tremendous battle at Cumorah, behold, the Nephites, which had escaped into the country southward, were hunted by the Lamanites until they were all destroyed. And my father also was killed by them, and I remain alone to write the sad tale of the destruction of my people. Hard to imagine, isn't it? From that first scripture that we read of this people where there was no contention in the land to where they turned to wickedness. And finally, the Lord destroyed. They were destroyed by the hand of God because of their wickedness. And I don't want you to think that I think you are wicked, because I do not. I think you are the children of God. You're part of Christ's true church. And I think you are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. But you know, that's part of preaching, all through preaching, all through the scriptures, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, we see warning after warning. And that's why we have these things. As a warning to us, a warning to us, to not get complacent, to not be complacent, to be diligent, to be diligent. Because you could have talked to these people in that first scripture. You could have talked to the Nephites there. And to think that in the space of a few years that they would all be destroyed, that gradually each generation fall away until there was none left, because they had turned their back on the Lord, lifted up in pride, and followed after wickedness. A warning to us. And you know, we see history repeats itself, doesn't it? How many times can you read through the scriptures and see where history has repeated itself? Nation after nation has been destroyed all through history because of wickedness. I can assure you that if those Nephite people would have remained strong, if they would have continued to serve the Lord, they would still be here. They would have been blessed. They would have been protected, because the Lord would have still been working with them. But they turned their back on the Lord, and they were destroyed. Now I want to look at America. How does America fit into this? Where is America at today? Is it following the same path? I think it is following the same path. I think it is following the exact same path. Step for step. Let's turn over to 1 Nephi chapter 3. Verses 152 through 156. This is on page 34. And Stan was talking about the beginning of this nation. This scripture talks about this. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles, which had gone forth out of captivity, did humble themselves before the Lord, and the power of the Lord was with them. Did we hear that word? Did it ring in our ears? They did humble themselves. They were not lifted up in pride. They were a humble people, and the Lord was with them. He was blessing them. And I beheld that their mother Gentiles were gathered together upon the waters, and upon the land also to battle against them. And I beheld that the power of God was with them, and also that the wrath of God was upon all them that were gathered together against them to battle. And I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles, which had gone out of captivity, were delivered by the power of God out of the hands of other nations. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that they did prosper in the land. Our forefathers came over here, established this nation, a God-fearing nation, defeated their enemies. Was this America, with their ragtag army, were they the great power of the world? Absolutely not. No way could they defeat those powers. No way on this earth could they defeat them. Only by the power of God. And God was with them. He was with them. Because they were a humble people. And they defeated their enemies. And we saw this nation established, similar to the Nephites that we read about earlier. A humble people, a God-fearing people, a people that had a desire to serve the Lord. Let's turn over to Ether, chapter 1. Verses 31 through 35. This is on page 717. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. We see that it was a humble people upon this land. But we see that this was a land of promise. And there was requirements, weren't there? There were requirements that they must serve the God. Serve God, or they would be swept off. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore, he that doth possess it shall serve God, or shall be swept off. For it is the everlasting decrees of God. We have a prophecy here, don't we? A warning to this people of this land. It says, when they are ripened in iniquity, they shall be swept off, ripened in iniquity. So where is this nation now? Where is it to being ripened in iniquity? You know, I grew up on a peach orchard. And I know a lot about peaches that ripen. And I know a ripe peach when I see it and when I taste it. And, you know, when a peach is ripe, when it's perfectly ripe, when it is fully ripe, it's going to fall on the ground. It'll fall on the ground. And when it falls on the ground, it will rot. It will rot. So in this nation, it's fully ripened in iniquity. It will rot. It will rot. How close are we to that? And it is not until the fullness of iniquity among the children of the land that they are swept off. We've seen that happen, haven't we? The Nephites were swept off. That's one thing about the Lord. When he makes a promise, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's not like man. You know, go out there in the world and somebody makes a promise to do something. You know, he might do it, he might not do it. Who knows? That's not the way of the Lord. When he makes a promise, he's going to do it. And we have examples where he has done it. The Nephites is one of them. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent and not continue in your iniquities in the until the fullness be come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of the land hath hitherto done. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven. And if they will but serve the God of the land, which is Jesus Christ, which hath been manifested by the things which we have written. We see here that the nation's not doomed, is it? There is an opportunity, isn't there? If they will repent and come back to God. the people will not be destroyed in this nation. But we are not seeing that happen, are we? We are not seeing that happen. So where is America at? Where is America at spiritually today? I hope we can see that spiritually it is heading in the wrong direction. That it's on a very sharp moral decline. As Dan said, a free fall. I think that's accurate. Gone off the cliff. Gone off the cliff. It's a time when good is considered evil and evil good. The scriptures talk about these things. We can see that we are living in this day. We could give many examples where things that are good, things that come from the Lord, are considered evil today. And those things that are evil, the sins of this world, we could give many examples of things that are going on in this nation today. Sinful things that are accepted, considered to be good. I hope it's clear to us. I hope we can see these signs very clearly. These are signs of the times. Signs of the times that we are living in. I think we are truly living in the last days. I think these are evidences of this. A time of trouble. A time of trouble in the world. Because of wickedness. Because the world is lifted up in pride. Just like we saw with the Nephites. You know, today the world is in turmoil. The world is in turmoil. So much hatred out there. Between nations, religions, economy. There's so many things going on. You know, we're in a terrible recession right now. And, you know, you listen to the economists and you know, things are getting better, and, you know, they're trying to convince people of this. We don't know. The euro is struggling right now. America is struggling more than they want to admit. The government is printing up money in the basement. There's just a lot of things going on in the economy. Is this recession over? I don't know. I don't know. But I know that the entire world economy can collapse overnight. Overnight, all the countries in the world are struggling. These things could happen. And they could happen just like that. I can remember when I was in school, I remember seeing in after World War II in Germany, where somebody had a wheelbarrow full of German marks. Their currency, a wheelbarrow full, and that was enough to buy one loaf of bread. One loaf of bread. You know, the things that we count on in this world, temporally, may not always be there. May not always be there. Social Security is broke. It may not always be there. I retired from my company, and there's some money set aside somewhere where I can and draw a pension for the rest of my life, supposedly. May not always be there. Could be gone tomorrow. Are we ready spiritually? Are we ready spiritually for whatever might happen? Because we don't know. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. That is why we need to be prepared today. Today for whatever will happen. You know, I think the volcano in Iceland is a warning to us. It was a warning to me. You know, as we were preparing to go to Kenya, you know, there's a lot of things to do to get prepared. A lot of things to do. Things I need to do at home, things I need to do to get ready to go there. That was the last thing in the world I thought about. That a volcano erupting in Iceland was going to delay my trip for a week. And while we were over there, we didn't know if we'd be able to get back. And you know, there was a possibility that we couldn't have for a long time. We could have been stuck over there. But to me, it was a warning that these things can happen. These natural disasters can happen. They can happen instantly and change the world forever. Change the world forever. I know that God has a plan. I know He has a plan. We don't understand it all. But we need to be ready. We need to be prepared for whatever it is and whatever part that we have to play in it. And be prepared for whatever is coming upon this world. And I'm not here to preach gloom and doom. But I can see the signs of the times. I can see what's happening. And I can see that literally overnight, this whole world could change and never be the same again. 9/11, one day in the history of the world, and the world changed forever. It changed forever, and it will never be corrected until the Lord returns. You know, we were coming through the airport. We were leaving Phoenix, and, you know, you're going through security and checking everything, and the lady behind us, you know, well, she, you know, the lights went off and she had her pack and, you know, they were hauling her off and something in her bag was, you know, wasn't, they saw something on the screen. And I asked my wife, how did it used to be before 9/11? And I really don't even hardly remember how it used to be. I'm so used to this now. And this will never end. Airport security will never end. Terrorist attack will never end until Christ returns. Part of life today. We need to be ready. We need to be ready for whatever comes. Whatever happens tomorrow. Let's turn over to 3 Nephi, chapter 7, verses 34 through 37. I'm sorry, 34 through 38. It's on page 646. Third Nephi chapter 7, verses 34 through 38. And thus commandeth the Father, that I should say unto you, at that day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel, and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, and shall be lifted up in pride of their hearts above all nations, and above all the people of the whole earth, and shall be filled with all manner of lyings, and of deceits, and of mischiefs, and of all manner of hypocrisy, and murders, and priestcrafts, and whoredoms, and of secret abominations. This is talking about our nation. Our nation. Where are we at? Are we there yet? If not, we are close. And if they shall do all these things and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, behold, saith the Father, I will bring the fullness of my gospel from among them. And then will I remember my covenant, which I have made unto my people, O house of Israel. And I will bring my gospel unto them, and I will shew unto thee, O house of Israel, that the Gentiles will not have power over you. But I will remember my covenant unto you, O house of Israel, and ye shall come unto the knowledge of the fullness of the gospel. And if the Gentiles will repent and return unto me, saith the Father, behold, they shall be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. So we see the house of Israel fell away, didn't they? And the gospel was brought back to the Gentiles. And now we are seeing the Gentiles fall away. And it talks here of the recovery of the house of Israel. We know that that has begun. We have our people in Yucatan. We're going to see this increasing as we go on. What we see here, there's always, always a way to come back. Always a way to come back for the whole world, that if they are willing to repent and follow the commandments of the Lord, that they can again come into his presence. But we see the things it talks about here in this nation, that it is rejecting the fullness of the gospel. The study that Brian and Don did on the emerging church is very enlightening. That it's just completely going away from the truth of Jesus Christ. And this emergent church is growing like a snowball in America today. We are seeing these things happen. We are seeing these things happen to our nation. We need to be aware. We need to be warned. We need to be prepared. But you know, God has always promised, as we have read already tonight, always promised to bless his people. So as we see these things unfold, as we see this nation falling away, as we see this world falling away, we must realize that the Lord will always be there for the righteous. So as all these things are going around us in the world, the wickedness, the tumult, the problems, the evil of the world, as long as we hold steadfast, as long as we follow those commandments, remain righteous to the end, the Lord will be there to bless us. He will be there to bless us and protect us. His covenant people, those that are willing to follow his commandments, that's you. That's you. We just need to remain steadfast, to remain strong, to be diligent, to not let our guard down. As Brian was talking about this morning, Satan is out there trying to defeat us, to destroy us, to bind us in those chains. And we see that these things that Brian talked about, and these things that I'm talking about, the pride of the heart, all came from Satan. All came from Satan, his deception. Tools of Satan to steal away the hearts of men, to harden their hearts. Let's turn over to 1 Nephi, chapter 7, verses 34 through 37. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon all the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore, he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come and the righteous be preserved, even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. Wherefore, the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it is so be as by fire. The righteous need not fear. So as we go forward, as we leave this reunion, as we go back out into the world, an ever-changing world, that we know not what tomorrow brings, we need to remember those words. The righteous need not fear. And then we need to make sure that we continue to be righteous, to continue to live that righteous life. It's something we need to do every day. We need to work on it every day. We need to be diligent. And if we are, the Lord will be there. He will be there to bless us. So we need not fear. If we first seek the kingdom of God and we lay up our treasures in heaven and remain a righteous people, the Lord will be there to bless us, to protect us, to strengthen us. To strengthen us through these times of trial so that we can have that peace and joy in our heart no matter what is happening in the world. You are the covenant people of God. It is my prayer that each one of us remain strong, that we are diligent in our daily walk of life, so the Lord will be there with us to bless us and strengthen us. I thank you.
In Dwayne's sermon, I'd like to have got his permission to add just a couple of little words. You know, before at home, when I have talked about this, you know, you're just preaching doom and gloom. Why even try? Everything's going to blow up. Why try? So we're listening to our Heavenly Father. Now, the families out here that got young children, okay, when they're starting out in life, don't you warn them about things? You've got to warn them about what's on TV, about the drugs, everything. You're their mothers and fathers. Okay, our Heavenly Father is warning us. It's not doom and gloom. He's telling us how to survive it. In closing, may we have Psalm 67, blessed be the tie that binds. Bow with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, I come to you with great thanks, Lord. Give you thanks for the message of this hour. Thanks for the speaker that gave it. And Lord, be with each and every one in our minds and our hearts that they can absorb and understand the true meaning that he was giving us, that we can take this home and understand without fear where we're at. And be with each and other in our faith and our love. In Jesus Christ, I pray this. Amen.